here on the top of Yutet Amud Aleph. We're continuing the discussion that we left off with yesterday as to whether there is a requirement by the Lila and the Yitzika of the Mincha for a Kohen to do that procedure. Rabbi Shimon believes that it must be done by a Kohen. The Chachamim say that b'diavad, it can be even done by a Zar. That is based on the way that you interpret the psukim that are found at the beginning of Vayikra Bet.
V'nefesh ki tekriv korban mincha l'Hashem saludia korbano v'yatzak alei Hashemen v'natan alei alimuna v'yav v'nei Aaron HaKohanim v'kamatz misham lo kumzo misalta v'mishamna al kol libanota v'yitir HaKohen et ezkarata mizbecha yishe reak nekoach l'Hashem v'chamim ardoresh v'kamatz misham is after v'yav v'nei Aaron HaKohanim. That means that there's a necessity for a Kohen at the point of mitzah. Mitzah Beilech, you need Kohanim. Prior to that time, you don't need a Kohen. Rabbi Shimon dissents and says that you need Kohanim even for the Yitzikah, even for those processes beforehand. And the Gemara wanted to know what was the source for Rabbi Shimon's position. We left off yesterday with Rabbi Shimon, B'nai Aaron HaKohanim, Mikra Nidrash Lepanav, Ula Akharav. The B'nai Aaron HaKohanim is not just modifying the Kamat Misham, which is the verb afterwards, but also the verbs that are found before. In the previous pasuk, v'yatzak alei Hashemen v'natan alei v'nobona, that's the source of Rabbi Shimon that you need Kohanim even for those processes or the kemitzah. Where it says, v'sover Rabbi Shimon mikra nidrash lepanav u'l'acharav, does he really subscribe to that principle that you can be doresh a modifier to affect that which is before and that which is after it? V'adanyo, don't we have a bright thought that seems to indicate otherwise? Which is, if Vayikra Dalet, which is the series of Katot over there, actually this pasuk appears twice with a slight variation. It says, Lakach HaKohen Bitama Katat Be'etzbo'o. Benatan Al-Kornol, the way it appears in the pasuk is, Mispach Ha'ula. It actually appears twice there. And they darshan from that, Be'etzbo'o V'lakach. The word Etzbo'o appears there between the verb V'lakach and the verb Benatan. So they are saying, v'etzba'o v'lakach, l'mamej, lo te kabbalah, ele v'yamin. The etzba'o is modifying the lakach, and there the l'kikah is a reference to taking of the dam, bringing the dam to do that service. So that's the equivalent of kabbalat adam. That teaches you that the kabbalat adam has to be done with your right hand. Now, not literally into your right hand, but you have to use your right hand to hold the utensil into which the kabbalat adam takes place. V'etzba'o v'natan, etzba'o also modifies the verb that follows it. It teaches you that you also, when you do the matnot dam on the mizbeah, that it has to be done with the right hand of the kohen. The way that the Tanakam or the Chachamim are learning this in the Paraita is that the word etzba'o is, in essence, a dangling modifier. It's lakach kohen mitama chatat be'etzba'o v'natan. So the etzba'o, they're saying, is a dangling modifier, so therefore it modifies both verbs, both the lakach and v'natan, which means you have to do both kabbalat adam and nitinat adam with your right hand. Amrav Shimon, Chinemer Yad B'Kabbalah. Yad here is not literally Yad, but where do you see the word Etzba'o with regards to Kabbalah Dadam? Ovenomer Yad B'Kabbalah, since there's no Etzba'o that is written by the Lakah, by the Kabbalah Dadam, Kibel B'Smol Kasher. Therefore, if you do Kabbalah Dadam into your left hand, again, not into the left hand, but holding a utensil in your left hand, it is Kasher. Amrav Abaye B'Mikra Didrash Lepanav U'L'Acharav Kamiflegei. But this is exactly the machloket over there in that braita between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. As to when you have this modifier, can it modify that which is before it and that which is after it? The Chachamim say yes, and therefore they have it modifying lakach, and they have it modifying benatan. That means that you both need kabbalat adam in a kli in your right hand, and in nitinat adam also has to be done by using the right hand, the finger on the right hand, to do the matnot dam. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, says the etzba'o only modifies the verb that is subsequent to it. Says Lakach HaKohen Mitama Chatat Be'etzba'o V'Natan, only Natan is modified by that. It means that the Netinah has to be done with your right hand, but it does not mean that you have to do the Lakach. You don't have to do the Kabbalah Tadam with your right hand, and that's why he says if you do Kabbalah, the small, that it would be Kasher. But what we see from here is that Rabbi Shimon subscribes to a position of Nikra, Nidrash, La'acharav, Velo Lefanav. You have a modifier like this, it only affects that which is subsequent to it, not that which is before it. If that's a case that can't be the reasoning for Rabbi Shimon in our case by the Mincha, how do you know that Yitzikah has to be done by a Kohen? If you say it's because Mikra Nidrash Lefanav Acharav, Rabbi Shimon doesn't subscribe to that principle. You're telling me that's his reasoning. He doesn't believe that that is true. Elohi Taima to Rabbi Shimon. This is the reasoning behind Rabbi Shimon's position. Behevia Vav Musif Alinyan Rishon. pasuk or the subsequent pasuk begins with a vav, which means the end of the first pasuk there is ve'atzaka la'Hashem ve'natan alei levona. Then it begins ve'hevia el bnei Aaron ha'kohanim ve'kamatz misham. So there we know the kohanim are modifying the kamatz, but he says it's also modifying the yatzak because it says ve'hevia. The vav is a chibur between the verb that's before and the verb that is afterwards. So that's the limud that generates this view that Vayatzak also requires a kohen. Rashi over here says, well, why don't you say the same thing with regards to the pasuk that we just brought? We just brought a pasuk for the kacha kohen mitam hakatat besbo, v'natan al karnot misbach haolam. So now you also have a vav, a chibur over there. So why don't you say vav musif al inyan rishon? Why don't you say that the vav connects between that which is before and that which is afterwards? So Rashi says there's a distinction. Taritz, if it had written v'natan be'etzba'o, then that would have been true. Then I would have said vav is musif al-inyan rishon. V'hashta be'etzba'o hipsik al-inyan. But here the etzba'o sits in between. So the difference being that in our pasuk over here, the vav sits on the other side of the Kohanim, which is that you have the via of an Aaron Kohanim, v'kamatz misham. The vav comes before the word Kohanim, and therefore it connects the which was before, v'yatzak, to the word Kohanim, as well as the word Kohanim to v'kamatz, because the vav connects between the two verbs, the verb before and the word Kohanim. In our instance over here, it says v'lakach ha-kohen mitam ha-chatat v'etzba'o, and then v'natan. So now the problem is that the etzba'o was sitting afterwards. Had the etzba'o been after the word v'natan, then you could have argued v'natan v'etzba'o, the vav of v'natan would allow you then to take it back to v'lakach as well. The fact that now etzba'o sits there and blocks the vav that's afterwards, that means that there's a, call it hefsek, some sort of break in the puzzle that divides between the two. So in our case, the vav sits before the word that we're interested in, which is the word kohanim. Since the vav sits before it, it can take it back to the previous verb. In the pasuk that we just quoted by the Dhamma Khatat, the vav is after the word etzba'o. And the word etzba'o then divides between the verbs, and then the vav can't connect it back to the previous scenario. Had it written v'natan v'etzba'o, and okanami, you could have pulled it back. Now that it has it, etzba'o v'natan, the vav is after etzba'o, and it doesn't help you to connect the two. That's how Rashi deals with that vav musif al-inyan rishon. But then the Gemara says, if you really subscribe to this vav musif or inyan rishon, al miata dichtiv, here where it writes, by the Korban Ola, v'shachatet ben ha-bakar, v'ikrivu bnei Aaron ha-kohanim et adam, v'zarku et adam, mikabalah ve'ilech mitzvat kehuna. So that we know, as you noted before, by the Korban of an Beima, the requirement for kohanim only begins from Kabbalah and onwards. So melameid al shkitash k'shera bizar. That's how we know that Shchita is Kshera Bizar. Either Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon, his vav is Mosipa Yen Rishon, Shchita Hakanami Bizar Dei Psula. Then Shchita should also be Psula because of the vav Achibur. It says, Shachad Ben Bakar, Tihi Krivu Bnei Aaron HaKohanim. The Bnei Aaron HaKohanim are by the Vihikrivu, which is the source for Kabbalat Adam, and has a vav in front of Vihikrivu. That should connect it back to the previous statement of Shachat, and therefore the Shchita should also require Kohanim. So now, Shita Mikubetzet, in O Dalit, brings from the Tosafot, Chitzoniot, a question as to why the Gemara is picking on Rabbi Shimon. There are many Tanaim that believe Bav Musif al-Inyan Rishon. Rabbi Shimon is not the only one who has this limud, as Rabbi Kiva also has it. And there are others throughout Shas that say Bav is Musif al-Inyan Rishon. So why does the Gemara only challenge Rabbi Shimon over here? Not all of those Shitot that say Bav is Musif al-Inyan Rishon. He says something interesting. He says, "V'yishlom et lo parich el Rabbi Shimon, to mepik mi vav musif v'yitzikot ubliyot v'yikoein, afagav the svaru v'lo v'yikoein, ki'im v'dalet abudot." Says that the reason that they picked on Rabbi Shimon is because Rabbi Shimon uses the vav here, say musif al inyan rishon, to go against what would be dictated by logic. And that is because the only time he would have required or thought to require koein is with regards to the four avodot, the four core avodot that you have. V'hai lav midalat avodotu. And the blila and yitzikah are not a part of those four avodot. And yet, afilu hachi, he says the vav tells you that you have to use a kohen. So he goes against what you would otherwise have thought is the way to read the pasuk. The pasuk you would have thought, the four core avodot, I understand why you would require a kohen over there. Blila and yitzikah are prerequisites, are part of the preparation, but they're not part of the core avodot. So maybe there should be no need for a kohen. He goes, well, the vav musif al-inyan rishon tells you even so, there is a Kohen. Since he's going, using the Vava Mosif to go against what would have been your natural inclination in the Pasuk, the Gemara therefore picks on Rabbi Shimon and says, well, if you're going to do that, then let's also look at Shechita, because the Vav is Mosif Alin Rishon, and even though the Pasuk seems to indicate otherwise, you think that Vav Mosif Alin Rishon overrides in those situations. Now, in this case, Shechita is one of the core four avodot. But then the question is more pronounced than for Rabbi Shimon, who's willing to use the Vav, even in cases where logic doesn't dictate to use the Vav. So that's why the Gemara challenged Rabbi Shimon in particular. The Gemara then answers on behalf of Rabbi Shimon, Shiny Hotam, over there by Shechita is different, Damakra, Visamach, Vishachat, that there are two Smichot HaParshiyot over here. There is Smicha that comes beforehand, then there's Shechita, and then there's Kabbalat Adam. The Shechita sits between Kabbalat Adam, which requires Kohanim, and Smicha, which certainly does not require Kohanim, because Ma Smicha Bizarim, Av Shechita Bizarim. Smicha is done by Tzarim, and so is Shechita, because Smicha, by definition, is done by the Baalim, by the owners of the Korban. It says, V'samach Yodol Rosh Korbano. When you put your hands, you do the smicha on the korban, it's clearly done by the owner of the korban, not by the kohanim. So shechita sits between the two of them. So he says the juxtaposition of smicha to shechita tells you that shechita can be done by a zar, even though you have vav mosif harishon, connects it to the kabbalah afterwards. So ima smicha bebalim, av shechita bebalim. Well, if you're going to already learn from smicha then, just like smicha should be done by the balim, so too maybe shechita should be done by the balim, not by any zar, but only by the Baalim, just like Tincha can only be done by the Baalim. How lo matzi damart? You can't say that, Kal v'chomer, because it's a Kal v'chomer. Ma zrika, ziikar kapara. Zrikat adam, which is the classic part of the kapparat korban, there, lo bayi Baalim. You don't require Baalim, because that's done by the Kohen. So shechita, de la v'ikar kapara, lo goshikei. Shechita, which is not the primary aspect of kapara, certainly it should not require Baalim in that case. And if you want to suggest over here, how could you compare the cases? By Kabbalah, the reason you can't use Baalim is because you require a Kohanim. So by definition, it's not going to be the Baalim. By Shechita, you have an option to have it be the Baalim, so maybe the Baalim over there will be required. Where it says, Goli Rachmana b'yom ha-kippurim. By Yom Kippur, the Torah explicitly tells you, v'shachat et parachatat asher lo. That by Yom Kippur, it says about Aron HaKohen, that he will shech his part. So that indicates Michlau. From there you would infer the Shechita Ba'alma lo bein in Baalim. The fact that the Torah has to specify in that particular case that Aaron must do the Shechita, that shows you that in other instances, then Aaron doesn't have to do the Shechita, or in essence the Baalim don't have to do the Shechita. It's not clear from the Pasuk what the demand is. Is the demand simply that the Baalim do the Shechita, or is it that the Baalim who are a Kohanim do the Shechita? That would have a nafkamina in terms of whether by the Shechita, by Yom HaKippurim, does he have to be wearing his big day kuhuna? Does he have to be there qua Kohen, and therefore he has to be dressed like a Kohen in order to do the Avodah? Or is it just he has to be there as Baalim, as the owners of the Korban? And then all he has to do is be there, he doesn't have to be dressed. He has to be in uniform to be a Kohen. That would be the nafkamina. But it's not clear here as to whether the emphasis is on Baalim, or the emphasis on Baalim Kohen, and that would make a difference as to whether you require him to be in the uniform or to be a Kohen at the time he's doing it. You can see that in Tosafot where he says, Mashma Ofa, the Rabbi Shimon, Shkitat Parob Zar Psula. So it's not only that you need the Baalim, but also you need Kohen. Although that's not necessarily the Pashtut HaGemara, which seems to indicate you just need Baalim over here. And again, that's what we discussed as the Nafkamino. But from there you see that there is a requirement of Baalim in Shkita, but that's uniquely associated with Yom HaKippurim, and not something that is associated with any other korban. And for that reason, you see that, first of all, shechita can be done bitzarim. That's because of the hekesh to smicha. And even though smicha requires baalim, shechita does not require baalim because Kabbalah, which is a more important part of the avodah, the core part of the avodah, does not require baalim, then certainly shechita. And even though that's from efshar to efshar, we already have a miut from the shechita by Yom HaKippurim to tell you that only by Yom Kippur, only by the power of the Kohen Gadol do you require Baalim. Nowhere else do you require Baalim. And that's why Rabbi Shimon will say that Shechita does not require a Kohen, even though there's a Vav Mosif Alin Rishon from v'zarku bnei Aaron ha-kohanim. And so even though the conclusion of the Gemara here is that shechita is kshera b'zar, and any zar, you don't need baalim, nevertheless, the chatchila, we see in many places in Shas, that to give a preference to the baalim doing the shechita, rather than just a zar in general doing the shechita. And so then you would think that the chatchila, either you would have the baalim do the shechita, or you would have the kohen do the shechita. Both of those are options in terms of the smicha, the parshio between shechita, smicha, the juxtaposition or adjacency of shechita to smicha, as well as shechita to kabbalat adam. And therefore you would think that maybe the chatchila you would require baalim and or kohen. Vidyavad, any zar will suffice in this case. Amarav. So now we move on to a new topic, which is kol makom shenemar Torah v'chuka in elakeh. Whenever the Torah uses Torah and chuka, that shows you that there's an equal, and then whatever is written in that parshia is me'akev. Means you must do it. Procedure that is laid out here is absolute, and there's no deviating from that procedure. The Gemara says that we think that what Rav is saying over here is tarte boy. You need both Torah and chuka to have that be true. Kidichtiv. And the example they bring is from the paraduma, which is zot chukat ha-Torah. There you have chuka and Torah. Doesn't necessarily have to be that they're juxtaposed in the pasuk. They don't have to be adjacent. It could be that they both are found in the parshiyah. Happens to be in this case they are adjacent to each other, which is chukat ha-Torah. But there by paraduma, it's telling you that you must do this procedure exactly the way that it's laid out, because you have the word chukah and Torah. Now, the Gemara challenges this idea that you have to have both words there to be me'akeh. Vare nazir. Zalok tiba bei ela Torah. By nazir, it says zotrat nazir. Amar Rav, tnufa benazir me'akva. And yet, Rav says, with regards to the wave offering of the matnot ki'una of the nazir, that is done with the nazir and the kohen, and Rav says that that tnufa, that wave offering, is me'akev. The only way you would know that it's me'akev is because it says, Zot Torah ta nazir, shenidur, that this is the Torah of the nazir, implying that the word Torah is sufficient to create an iku. Shani otam, kemen dichtiva, ken ya'aseh. Keman dichtiva ba chukah domi. That the word chukah doesn't necessarily have to be exactly the word chukah. Chukah just indicates cult, that this is a procedure that may not have reason, or you may not understand why, but it's a chok. It's a fixed law. When it's a fixed law, you can't deviate from that fixed law. So when you have also some other verbiage that indicates something similar, which is like, ken yaseh, like this you must do. Of course you have to do this. It's prescriptive in nature. Then why do you have to say ken yaseh? That seems to indicate that it is le'akev. So that's what the Gemara says here. There you have the word Torah and ken yaseh. That's the same as having Torah and chukah. But now the Gemara says, Hare todah. What about the Qurban Todah? The Lokti Bei Ela Torah. There also, it only writes the word Torah, which is the Zot Torah Zevach HaShlamim. Imal Todah Yakrivenu. It's none. And we have a Mishnah later on in the Masechta. Arba'a Minim Shibetodah Makvim Zezeh. Four different types of breads that are brought along with the Qurban Todah. They are Me'akev. Each one of them is Me'akev, the other. Shiny Todah, the Ipkish the Nazir. That's different because it's derived from Nazir. There's a correlation between the Qurban Todah and the Qurban of the Nazir. They both require breads to be brought along with their Qurban Shlamim. And therefore there is a correlation based on the limud that we're going to see now, which is Tiktiv. Al Zevach Todat Shlamav. It says about the Qurban Todah, it uses the words Zevach Todat Shlamav, Bamamar, Shlamav. What does it mean, Shlamav? Rabot Shamei Nazir. Why is it Shlamim in plural? Shlamav, his Shlamim. That's to include other Shlamim. The other Shlamim that we're including is that of a Shalmei Nazir. So now you have a correlation or a hekesh between Nazir and Todah. And that's what generates the ikul by the Todah, that the Arba'a types of Lechem are me'akev each other. Just like by the Nazir already, we learned that the procedure is me'akev. The tnufa, the wave offering, is me'akev. And that's because over there, by Nazir, it has the word Torah and ken yaseh. And so too, by Todah, even though we only have the word Torah, because of its correlation to Nazir, that's going to tell us that it's also me'akev by the Todah. Vayri mitzorah, the lokti be'ela Torah, then by the mitzorah that's found in Parshat mitzorah with regards to Tarat ha-mitzorah. over there it also only says Zotorah Tamitzora. Pitnan, Arba Minim Shitzora, Makvim Zedze. And despite the fact that only the word Torah appears there, we still say that the four items are me'akev each other. Four items is the Tarat HaMitzorah, that's done michutz, la'machaneh, that's the eight eres, the shni tolat, the eizol, and the tziporim, the birds. That's the initial Tarat HaMitzorah. All those four items are me'akev et zetzeh. Where do you have a word that tells you equal except for the word Torah? Shiny otam, kemi dichtiv zotie Torat HaMitzorah. It's over there, it says, this will be the Tarat HaMitzorah. That is because of the word tiyeh. Again, iyeh or tiyeh. Havaya is also an indication of ikub. This is the way it will be. That tells you this is exactly this way. You can't deviate from it. So now you have tiyeh and Torah HaMitzorah. So you have a duplication. Again, you have Torah and tiyeh. It's equivalent of having Torah and chukah in the pasuk. And therefore, Torah HaMitzorah is also governed by this principle that if you have Torah and chukah, then it is me'akev. Ve'are yom ha'kippurim, delok tibay elo chukah. By Yom Kippur, it only says the word v'chukah. It's not. And we have the Mishnah in Yoma that says, shnei sire yom ha'kippurim makvim zetze. The seir la'shem and the seir la'zazel are me'akev each other, even though you only have the word chukah that is found by yom ha'kippurim. You don't have the word Torah that's found there. Ela, o Torah, o chukah. Too many exceptions to the rule. That means that you only need one of the two. Either Torah or chukah is sufficient to indicate that there is something me'akev over here. So Gemara says, "Varei shar korbanot tichtibe Torah lo me'akev." Now that you opened up the door to this possibility, you widened it too much because every one of the korbanot has the word Torah written by it. In Parshat Tzav, it says, "Zot Torah tamincha, Torah tasham, Torah tachatat, Torah tolam." There you have the word Torah appear by every one of the korbanot. If that's the case, everything would be me'akev, and we don't say that. Gemara says, okay, we have to narrow the scope again. Torah bayi chukah, chukah lo bayi Torah. So if you have the word Torah, that is not sufficient in and of itself. You need something else along with the word Torah. If you have the word chukah, then you don't need the word Torah. Or in essence, only chukah works by itself. Torah doesn't do anything, you still need chukah. Didn't Rav say you need to have Torah and chukah? And now you're telling me you only need the word chukah, really? So he says, even though if the word Torah appears, if the word chukah appears, then fine. If not, not. Tosfot asks your question, which is, earlier on in the Masechta, we had the same thing with regards to etzva and kuhuna. That Rabbi Shimon requires etzva, but kuhuna is not sufficient to necessitate their using the right hand. The Chachamim say, o etzva, o kuhuna, it already indicates that you have to use your right side. Rabbi Shimon said you need both of them, and then the Gemara backed away from that and said, basically you need etzva. But then the Gemara said, well, if you only need etzva, then why does the word kohen appear there? The Rabbi Shimon learned earlier, b'kuhuna. The word b'kohen comes to teach you that he has to be in uniform in order for the avoda to be efficacious. So then he asks a similar question over here. Bim tomar Torah lemayata. So then over here too, if you have chukah and Torah, you have to require chukah anyway. Then what do you need Torah for at all? He says v'yesh lomar the Torah ata l'shum drasha. The Torah is coming for some drasha. He doesn't know what the drasha is, but the word Torah is coming to teach you something. It has to be because the fact that you only need the word chukah and Torah is not necessary now. Then the word Torah must be coming to tell you something. We don't know what it is, but there's some drasha out there that would cover the word Torah. So the Baal Yitzchak would acknowledge your question, which is once you make it that chukah is the main issue, then Torah becomes extraneous. Then in those cases where Torah does appear, what do you do with the word Torah? And the answer is there must be some drasha, similar to the way that we had it by the word kohen, that means b'kuhuna. The Rabbeinu Tam also notes over here his shita that we saw back in the Gemara in Tzvachim, which is that whenever the word chukah is used, that is not to teach you that the word chukah itself is me'akev. Rather, it's a k'seir shava to the word chukah. The chol makom derinu chukah ikuva lo imashma'uta ela mikzeir shava yofinan. This doesn't come from the meaning of the word chukah, like I explained before, which is the word chukah seems to indicate this is the way to do it and no way else. He says actually comes out of a k'seir shava. As he says, we saw in the beginning of Tzvachim, sh'tuye yayim inalan. He says, by mechuser begadim, it's me'akev. And you have the word chukah. And therefore, anything else that has the word chukah is a zera shava to mechuser begadim. That's the way the Rabbeinu Tam learns. Many Rishonim disagree with the Rabbeinu Tam, including the Ramban, who suggests that the word chukah inherently means equal, and you don't need a drasha of Zeresh Shavah to get there. And the meaning, like we said before, of the word chukah is a chok that is kakuk, that is fixed in place, it's carved into stone, you can't deviate from it. And that's where they learned the word chukah as being me'akeh. So now the Gemara says, okay, now that you've established the principle this way, bari mincha, dichti ba chukah. The mincha, which is what we're discussing now, also has the word chok appear there. And so then, why don't you say that all the parts of the mincha are me'akeh, even though we just saw that procedurally there are things that you can leave out all over the place in the mincha, and it's still kasher. It says in the pasuk in Parshat Tzav, in Perek Vav Pasuk Yiral, Kol zachar b'bnei Aaron yochalena, chak olam l'dor teyetem mishay Hashem kol sheyiga v'hamikdash. You have the word chok appearing in the pasukim that deal with zotarat mincha. So why isn't it me'akeh all the procedures that are associated with the mincha? And Rav gives an additional principle, which is anytime something's repeated by Torah Mincha, that's when it's Ma'akev. Exir in, lo exir lo. Only if it repeats it is that true. If it doesn't repeat it, then it's not. So you have the parshia of the Mincha that's found in Vayikra, which is the Nefesh Ki Tariv Merkurban Mincha. And then you have the repetition in the procedures of the Kohen, Zo Torah Mincha in Parshat Tzav. And so what Rav says is, if in Parshat Tzav it repeats something that was in Vayikra, or even in Vayikra itself, it repeats something, that is Ma'akev. But that implies that had it not been for the repetition, it wouldn't be Ma'akev. So why not? What about the word Chok? That's his principle. Rav's principle is that Chok tells you that it has to be done exactly in this manner. How come we don't say that by the Mincha? It says, Shani Otam, the Chiktiva, Ka Achila Ktiva. The problem there is that the Chukah is not about the procedures, rather about the achila. It says, Kol zachar b'nei Aaron yochalena, chak olam l'dor teichem, mishay Hashem, kol sheyi gavei hamikdash. Sounds like the chok doesn't have to do with procedurally how the mincha is processed, but rather that the kohanim are entitled to the shayirei hamincha. That's the chok that is being spoken about there, not the procedures associated with the mincha. Where it says, Vari lechem apanim, merik tiva chukah achila, tiva. So what about the fact that in Parshat Emor, by the Lechem HaPanim, it also uses the word chok, but there the chok is also written by achila. In the final pasuk of the parashia, in Chabdalet, Parakabdalet, pasuk 10, it says, Vaital Ron Uvanav, Vachaluhu, Bemakom Kadosh, Ki Kodesh Kodeshim Ho, Lo, Mishay Hashem, Chak Olam. So you have Chak Olam also there that's associated with the achila. And despite the fact that it's written by the achila, it's not. And yet we have a Mishnah later on, Shnei Starim Makvim Zeetzeh, Shnei Bazichim Makvim Zeetzeh. The two stacks of the Lechem HaPanim are me'akev each other. The two bazichim are me'akev each other. Hasdarim v'bazichim akvim tzetzah. The stacks and the bazichim, the frankincense, all of that is me'akev each other. Why is there an equal over there if the chok is bound by the achila? Ela kohecha dichtiva achila akula milta ktiva. Ein ochanami. The word chok appears, even if it appears by the achila, it's not just about the achila, it's about all the procedures that are there. So then, why by the mincha do you not say the word chok is governing and says you have to do it exactly in this manner? Shani otom, tomer kra, mikirsa, umishamna. The pasuk by the mincha says, viktira kohen et azkarata, mikirsa, umishamna, al kol levenota, ishei lashem. So Rashi claims over here that the necessity for the kirsa and the shamna to be whole is from the additional hay. You could have just written Migeres Umishemen. The fact that it wrote Girsa and Shamna makes the extraneous hay tells you that it has to be whole. It must be full. So there, the solet and the shemen must be full. I mean, you have to have an isaron of solet and a lobe shemen. If you don't bring that minimum amount and you don't have the whole measure there, then it is pasul. And that's what we saw earlier in the Masechta already, that the solet and the shemen, the size of them, is me'akev the korban. If the mincha is chasera before you take off the komets, it's problematic. What that indicates to you is, if the Torah had to go out of its way to tell you that the solet and the shemen must be whole, that means that you wouldn't have otherwise known that it is me'akev. And so what that teaches you is, geres v'shemen makvim bein davar acher me'akev. The geres and the shemen are me'akev the mincha, but nothing else is me'akev the mincha. Or the better way to say this, because some don't have the girsa that we have over here, better way to say this is that the ka is found by the mincha is lav dafka. You can't take it literally. If you took it literally, you would not necessitate a separate limud to tell you that the solid and shemen must be whole. The fact that the Torah did that shows you whatever the chok is doing is not covering this issue. And therefore the chok is lav dafka and the chok does not impact on the mincha. That's the way Rashi learned. The Bali Tosafot don't think that that's the limud, it's not the extra hay, but rather the duplication of solid and shemen. And that is because there in that same parshiyah, and Vayikra Bet, at the beginning of the parshiyah, we read this before, it says in Perek Bet, Pasuk Bet, Beviyah, B'nei Aron HaKohanim, B'kamat Misham, Lo Kutso, Misalta, U'mishamna. There you have Solot and Shemen, Al Kol Levanota, Tera Goyne, Das Karata, Mizbecha, Yishrei Reach Nechoach Hashem. And then in Pasuk Tetzayin, the Pasuk we just read, it says, Tera Goyne, Das Karata, Mikirsa, U'mishamna, Al Kol Levanota, Yishrei Lashem. Yirsa is anonymous with Solet, and that means that you have Salta and Shamna in the beginning of the Parsha, and then you have Salta and Shamna, or Girsa and Shamna later on in the Parsha. It means you have a duplication. And that's why Tosfot says it's Me'akev, it's because you have a duplication of Solet and Shemen that indicate that they are Me'akev. That's the way that the Bali of Tosafot read it. Rashi reads it simply as being a reboy from the Hey. Either way, the fact that the Torah had to specify that Solet and Shemen are Me'akev, even though the word chok is written there, tells you that the chok by mincha is not working the way it works in other situations. The Torah basically is makia the word chok because of the fact that solot and shemen need a special limud that you should have known from the word chok. The fact that it doesn't do that shows that the chok is lav dafka. All right, kufa. Now the Gemara goes back to investigate this statement by Rav, which is Amar Rav. Kol makom shezir lecha ketub in the Torah mincha in olayakev. Anytime that there's a repetition with regards to the mincha, that is la'akev. It's generally a principle in Kodoshim in general. Shmuel Amar, Geres, V'shemen, Makvim, Be'in Davar Acher Makev. Shmuel says it's not true. By Mincha, there's only one thing that is Makev, and that is the Solot and the Shemen. Again, Rashi, because of the extra hay. Tosafot, because of the fact that it's duplicated in the Parsha. But the fact is that those uniquely are Makev. Nothing else is Makev. Shmuel, Avgav, the Tani Beikra, Lo Me'akvale? So Shmuel is going against a general principle that we have in Kodoshim, that anytime you have a repetition of a tzivoy by Kodoshim, that indicates not only the mitzvah, but the akev. And he's saying, no, don't worry about that. It's only by the shemen and the solot that that's true. Ella, ko'echa, the tanaveikra, vade makva. Of course, Shmuel agrees that anytime there's a repetition in the pasuk, it for sure is makev. So there's no difference between Rav and Shmuel with regards to this. If you have repetition, it is makev. By the soul of the Shemen, you have repetition, it's going to be Me'akev. There, Makloket is, Ba'ocha, B'melo Kumtso, B'Kumtso, Kamiflegate. They're arguing about the duplication of B'lo Kumtso and Kumtso. Titania, we have a Braita that says, B'lo Kumtso, B'Kumtso, Shalo Yaseh, Mida Lakomets. Why is there a distinction that is drawn between the wording of Kumtso and B'lo Kumtso? By the Mincha, in Parshat Vayikra, it says, "Be'viyal b'nei Aron HaKohanim, gamas misham, milo kumtso." He has to take off a full kometz. So that's the one time that we see the word kometz. But yet, when it comes to the pasuk in Parshat Tzav, it says, "Ve'irim imenu b'kumtso." B'sod ha'mincha, he'll do with the kometz. He has to take it off. Why is there a change in language between milo kumtso and b'kumtso? The Braita tells us, "Lo kumtso b'kumtso, shalo yaseh mida la kometz." So that you don't make a utensil for the kometz. So that's what is learned from this braita. Rav Savar, Hanami Tana Beikra. Over there, it's also Me'akev, because there's a duplication of the pasuk. So we have a limud of Melo Kumtso, Bit Kumtso, that the Melo Kometz has to be done Bit Kometz, meaning with his hand. It can only be done with his hand. You can't create a kli that's the size of his hand and take off the kometz that way. It has to be physically done with his hand. Now you only have that din once that's found by the mincha, because of the word bikumso, differentiated from the lokumso. But now, how do you know that that's makev? Rav Sabar, hainami tana beikra. There's a duplication here, dichtiv. Because by the miluim, it says, vayakrevet amincha, vayimalei kapo mimena. That he was makrev the mincha, and he filled his hand, his fist, with it. So he says that that's a duplication. Vayimalei kapo, even though it's not the same word, it means the same thing, kapo and kumso. Meaning that his hand, the palm of his hand, is filled with the item. And you see over there, by the mincha of the miluim, it says, Vayimalei kapo, he must use his hand. Over here we say, Pikumso, it has to use his hand. That's a duplication, that would be me'akei. That means, according to Rav, the komets must be taken off with the hand of the Kohen, and if you don't do it with the hand of the Kohen, it's me'akei. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Dorot Misha lo yofinan. You can't use that as a duplication, because one of them is a permanent din of mincha, and one of them was l'sha'ah, was a temporary situation in the time of the miluim. And we don't learn out things that are permanent from things that happen once in history. So based on that, Shmuel says that even though the mitzvah is to do it with the kmitza of the komets of the Kohen, if you do it with the kli, it would not be makeh, but the abad, it would be fine. But it says, v'lo yaglif Shmuel dorot misha'ah. Shmuel really subscribed to this principle that you're not allowed to learn things that are for the future or are permanent halakhot from things that are temporary situations. But it's not. Don't we have a Mishnah, which we already saw? Kli alach, kachim et alach. Those utensils that are liquid measures, they only mikadesh liquids. Midat deyavesh, mikachim et deyavesh. And those that are dry measures, they are mikadesh dry goods. Those are things that the hin, the isaron, those are fixed measures in the mikdash. Those that are made for dry goods are mikadesh dry goods. Those that are made for liquids are mikadesh liquids. Ve'enkli alach mikachim et deyavesh, and you can't swap them out. A liquid measure will not be mikadesh dry goods. Below midat yavesh mikachim et alach, and a dry measure will not be mikadesh liquids. V'amar Shmuel, and Shmuel in that says, lo shnayla midot. That's only true when you're speaking about measures or measuring cups. That's when it is designated either for liquids or for yavesh. Above mizrakot, the utensils in which the dam was captured from the korbanot, mikachim. They are mikadesh. They do sanctify. That's whether it is liquid or dry goods. Dichtiv, because it says by the parshia of the nisi'im who are bringing their korbanot, shnehem leim solet. They are both filled in with solet. So over there you see that the mizrak is filled with solet. Solet is, quote unquote, a dry good. Since it's a dry good, you see that the mizrak, which is used for capturing the dam, is able to be mikadesh. So even though the primary purpose of Mizrakim is to capture the dam from Kabbalat the dam of the Behemoth, which make it into, quote-unquote, a liquid measure, and therefore it should only be Mekadesh liquids, Shmuel says that's not true. We find precedent in which the Mizrak is Mekadesh dry goods, which is the solet of the Mincha. The solet that's put in there is Nitkadesh, aide the Mizrak. You see from there that the Mizrak, which is not a measure, it's simply a receptacle for capturing things, can be mikadesh both dry goods and liquids. His source is from the korbanot, the nesim, which is l'sha'ah. That was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And that's his source for the fact that forever, mizrakot can be mikadesh, everything. Shani otom, it's different there, the tana bakra tresar zimnin. Because the pasuk repeated it 12 times. By the nesim, they all brought the same korban. And we know that from Parshat Naso, it repeats it over and over again. And it says, Shneim Leim Solet, 12 times. So something that's already repeated 12 times, Shmuel says, that allows you to have a limud from Sha'ah to Dorot. Now, Baal HaTosfot asks, why is that true? Why don't you just say, this is Shnei Tovim Abayim Te'achad? There you have two Tzukim teaching you the same thing. We say that that's the exception to the rule and not the rule. Here you have 12 Tzukim saying the exact same thing. Why doesn't that become the exception to the rule rather than the rule? Tosfot over here doesn't bring an answer, but Tosfot earlier in the Masechta noted that only invoke the principle of Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Ke'achad, we have two different dinim, about two different items that turn out to be the same thing. Meaning that you have it about one object and another object, you have the din by both of them and the din is the same. That's Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Ke'achad. But if you have two psukim about the same din or about the same halakha, that's not a din of Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Ke'achad, and you can't then say, oh, this is the exception. There's only one exception. That's Shneihem Leim Solet. That's the exception. Even though the exception is repeated 12 times, that's not Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Ke'achad, it's not two disparate objects with the same din. And for that reason, it's not considered to be a problem of Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Ke'achad. Now Tosafot over here points out that this rule, Ein Lomdim Dorot Misha'ah, again, is not a steadfast rule. Tosafot's done this on numerous occasions, that if somebody is Dorish in a certain way, we saw before, whether it's got to do Ein Lomikra, Ein Lomisoret, or whether you are Doresh, or whether you're Doresh above, It says that many times the Tanaim don't have a principled position with regards to that, that they never do it, or they always do it. You find sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. And the Tosfos points out that that has to do with the context in which it's found. Whether there's something compelling you to say it, or something compelling you not to say it. And same thing over here. He says this principle that we don't learn out, the Rov Tishah, is not a steadfast principle, because there are times, and there are situations where you learn out Dorot Misha'ah, and it really depends on context. If the Chachamim think that the Dorot and Sha'ah are not really so differentiated, for instance, by Pesach, where the Korban of Pesach, some of the things we learn out from the Korban of Pesach Mitzrayim to Korban Pesach Dorot, that's because they're essentially the same Korban, even though it's the Sha'ah and the Dorot. Nevertheless, there's a lot that is common between them, and it's really the same Korban, and therefore you can learn one from the other. So in an instance like that, we will learn Dorot Misha'ah. Whether it's because of context or some sort of extraneous language or pasuk, there we do allow for Zorot to be learned Misha'ah. And Tosfot over here brings a number of examples where we do learn Zorot Misha'ah. And that's why he explains that it's not a principled stand, but rather it just means that if there's no contrary evidence, we won't learn out Zorot Misha'ah. But if you have evidence to the fact that there's some correlation or connection between the Zorot and the Sha'ah, then we will learn out the road from Shah. So I'm Rav Kana, Rav Asi, the Rav. Rav Kana, Rav Asi said to Rav, Ari Hagasha, what about the fact that by the Mincha, the Hagasha, the necessity to touch the Kli, the utensil to the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach that has the Mincha in it, the Kli has the Mincha in it, you have to touch to the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach, there the Tani Beikra, the Lo Ma'akba, there by the Mincha, you have a repetition of it, and yet it's not Me'akev. You have by the Sukkim in Vayikra, Perek Bet, Pasukhet, Vemeitan Mincha Sheyasem Eilal Hashem, Vigival HaKohen, Vigisha Eilal Mizbeah. That's Hagasha. And then in Parashat Tzav, where it says, Zot Torah Tamincha, HaKrevo Tavan Aron Lifnei Hashem El Pnei HaMizbeah. They have to bring it over to the Mizbeah. So there you have an instruction found in Vayikra, duplicated in Tzav. That should mean that it's Hagasha is Ma'akev. Yet our Mishnah said that if you forget Hagasha, that b'diavad, it's kasher. It's not ma'akev the korban. So according to your principle, Rav, that duplication should mean that it should be ma'akev. Where it says, man tanave, where is the duplication? Dichtiv, because the pasuk says in Tzav, v'zol torat ha-mincha, ha-krev uta, b'nei aron, b'nei Hashem, el b'nei ha-mizbeah. Where it says, ha-likbole makom hudata. That repetition is necessary, not because it's duplicating the instruction, but because there's new information over there. That is the Tanya, Lifnei Hashem. It says in the Pasuk that you have to bring it and do it Lifnei Hashem. Yechol b'marav. I would think that's on the western side of the Mizbeach, because the Kodesh and Kodesh of Kodeshim, the Echal, are on the western side. So that means the western face of the Mizbeach faces towards the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodeshim. So if you say Lifnei Hashem, that would sound like you have to do it on the western side of the Mizbeach. But then it says, Tamalomar el Pnei HaMizbeach. The face of the Mizbeach. The face of the Mizbeach is the southern side. That's where the ramp goes up to the Mizbeach. That's on the southern side. And Yerach Tzafona, the northern side, is called the feet or the base of the Mizbeach. The face of the Mizbeach is on the southern side. So then you would think to do it, Yel Pnei HaMizbeach Yechol B'Darom. You would think to do it in the south. Talmud Lomar Lifnei Hashem. It says Lifnei Hashem, which tells you to do it in the west. Ha Ketzad, how can you reconcile that? Mikisha Bekeren Jomit Maravit, you do it exactly on the southwestern corner, Keneged Huda Shilkeren, at the point of that corner, Vidayo, and that is sufficient. The Gemara and Sota tells us that the word Dayo comes to teach you that it's enough that the Kli touches the Mizbeach. You don't need the actual Mincha to touch the Mizbeach, and that's what it means, Vidayo, that's enough. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Yachol Yekishen Olamarava Shilkeren, Lidroma Shilkeren. You would think you put it on the western side and the southern side of the Keren, that's Yersov Rashi, that Marav Ashel Keren and the Darom Ashel Keren means that you do both. You would think from the Pasuk you'd have to put it on the west side and the south side to accomplish both with Nei Hashem and Nei HaMizbeah. But it's also put on the other hand as the Yersov with the word O in it. And that is, Yigishen Ola Marav Ashel Keren, Ola Darom Ashel Keren. You would think you do it on either one of those sides. So Amart, whenever you have two psukim, if you follow the prescription of one of the psukim, you'll end up discharging that command in that pasuk, as well as the other pasuk as well. Or in the other pasuk, or the other instance, If you follow the instruction in that pasuk, you will fulfill the obligation vis-a-vis that pasuk, but you will undermine what is said in the other pasuk. In that case, menichim et shemikayim et smol v'patel chavero, we drop the understanding from the pasuk that only take care of itself and not the other pasuk. Tov simich mekayim et smol mekayim chavero, and we take up the instruction that's written in the pasuk that allows us to discharge the obligation vis-a-vis both sukim. This is why Tosafot thinks that the word o is in there, because the two options are either do it in the west or do it in the south. If you do it in the west, then you accomplish the Pnei Hashem, but you do not accomplish Pnei Hamizbeach. If you do it on the southern side, you accomplish Pnei Hamizbeach, but you also accomplish the Pnei Hashem. So we're better off doing it on the southern side than the western side. But Tosafot says you have two even choices here. Do it west or do it south. One of them is better than the other, and therefore we pick south. That's why he reads it as O, and not that you would have thought to do both of them. The other hand, Rashi thinks that you have to do both of them, because he doesn't have the word O over there. And he says that your Havamim would have to do both in order to accomplish the Pesukim. And the answer in the end is no, don't do both. Rather, just do one. And if had you done both, one of them would have accomplished both Pesukim, the other one would have been accomplishing itself, but contradicting the other Pesuk. Better to do it once on the side that accomplishes both, rather than to do it twice, where you, in one of those instances, fail to accomplish. That's the way Rashi will read it. So what Rashi might be saying is that it's better to accomplish in a single action both psukim, rather than to, in a separate action, accomplish each of the two psukim. And that's what it's meant over here. And that is because, v'shata omer lifnei Hashem, v'marav. If you do it lifnei Hashem on the western side, Vitalto Pnei Mizbeach. Then you have nullified, you have given up the option of doing it in the face of the Mizbeach, which on the southern side, Vidarom. Shata Omer al Pnei Mizbeach Vidarom. If you do it on the southern side of the Mizbeach, which is the face of the Mizbeach, then you accomplish Pnei Mizbeach. Kiyamto Lifnei Hashem. You also accomplish Lifnei Hashem. Well, how do you accomplish Lifnei Hashem? Pnei Mizbeach on the southern side, the Kodesh and the Echal are on the western side. So the western side does that, not the southern side. That's what Gemara says, Eich Kayamta. Where are you Mikayim, Lifnei Hashem here? Armavashi, Kasavar Haitano, this Tano holds, Kule Mizbeach Mitzafon Koi. The entirety of the Mizbeach is on the northern side of the Azara. So if you take the Azara and split it in half, the Heichal sits along that midline. Which means that the Heichal is centered north-south in the Azara. And that means that the door to the Heichal is 10 amot wide. 5 amot are on the northern side, 5 amot are on the southern side. If you place the entirety of the Mizbeach on the northern side, and you take the midline that goes east to west and divides north and south equally, if you put the Mizbeach entirely on the north side of that, that means that the face of the Mizbeach, which is the southern side of the Mizbeach, is on that midline. That midline, if you walk up, has 5 amot to the south of it that are still Lifnei Hashem, that are still in that opening to the Heichal. Therefore, if you go to the southern side of the Mizbeach, you accomplish Pnei Mizbeach, but you also accomplish Lifnei Hashem, because that line is in the midline of the doorway to the Echal. That means if you're standing there, it's actually Lifnei Hashem at that point. And therefore, you accomplish both of them, both the Pnei Mizbeach and Lifnei Hashem, if you do it on the southern side. That's what Rav Ashi says. This Tana holds that the entirety of the Mizbeach is on the northern side. If you believe that the Mizbeach is Mimutza, is centered, or it's all on the southern side, and all the other opinions that we saw before, then this would not be the case. And that's why the Tanakhama believes that you have to do it on the corner. In order to accomplish Pnei Mizbeach Lifnei Hashem, you have to do it on the southwestern corner. That's the only way you can do it. But for Rabbi Eliezer, who believes that the entirety of the Mizbeach was in the Tzafon, you know, then the picture that's brought in Rashi, it actually depicts the Mizbeach Kulo B'Darom, entirely on the southern side, which is not what we're saying here. We're saying here it's entirely on the northern side. Therefore, you can accomplish both of them on the southern face of the Mizbeach. As the Baal Tosafot point out, Lifnei Hashem still dictates that Lifnei Hashem means you have to do on the most western part of the southern side. Because anything that is past the most western side is no longer Lifnei Hashem, it's Lifnei, the next part of the Mizbeach. But it says, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, when you do it on the southern face, you can't do it anywhere on the southern face, you have to do it on the most western point of the southern face, in order that it be Lifnei Hashem. Because otherwise, there's a part of the Mizbeach that's mafsik between where you are and the western side, which is Lifnei Hashem. That means that you don't have to do it on the corner itself, but you have to do it on the end of the southern side at the corner, not on the corner, but at the corner on the southern side, in order that it's both Pnei Mizbeach and Lifnei Hashem. Okay, we're going to stop here, two lines from the bottom of Yutet Amud Bet.